It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History.
Win.
We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Welcome to the Top Order Podcast. It's that time of the week again. It is IPL Power Rankings. The Lipshaw Index gets another outing as we're well past the halfway stage in the tournament. All of our predictions coming home to roost, it's fair to say, on the Top Order Podcast. We're going to talk 1 through 10 in this week's Power Rankings, all coming up on the Top Order Podcast. Stay tuned.
How are you feeling with Stu on the right-hand side of you tonight?
Mm-hmm. Mate, it's kind of a nice surprise, isn't it? So Bordy obviously not with us this evening. He's down in windy Wellington for work. So probably have the same Australian outlook on the podcast this evening.
We've just mentioned a couple.
Yeah, we've just been talking off-air about New Zealand. Big news have named their T20 squad, which I'm sure we'll touch upon for the World Cup as we go through the podcast and talk about some of the players. But look, I guess we come to the Lipshaw Index. We come to the power rankings. I don't think there's going to be any surprises at the top of the rankings, but we are going to start, for anyone new to the podcast, with who we think's had the best week in the IPL so far. We're up to 11 games in. So Delhi Capitals have played 11 games, and down the bottom, we've got, in terms of games played, a number of teams on 9 games, and the Gujarat Titans on 10. Everybody else, Royal Challengers as well, 10. But everyone else, 9 games in. And start of the tournament, we predicted, or we thought, that 8 wins was going to get you into those playoff places for the business end of the tournament. So who have we got at the top? And you know, there's no surprises that it's going to be the team with 8 wins. Are they in the finals now? Can we confidently say that?
I think that I saw someone saying the other day that they're not mathematically in yet, but let's pencil them in. I mean, yeah, Rajasthan, they've been fantastic. It's been a real topsy-turvy week. I think we sat here last week kind of going, oh, well, we sort of know who, you know, 4 or 5 of the top teams fighting out for these playoff spots are. And then suddenly this week everyone started beating everyone and we're sort of going, okay, well, you know, actually, does that mean – you know, all of these teams are back in the mix. And I think my takeaway is that we might get back around to the end of this podcast and go, there are still only 5 teams actually in the hunt for these playoff spots. But it certainly was a topsy-turvy week. But among all that topsy-turviness, Rajasthan just keep rolling on. Honestly, 2 games, 2 wins. They chased down 179 against Mumbai, 1 down. Chased down 196 against LSG, 3 down. Contributions from everyone. Raj and I talked about it earlier in the week. Sandeep Sharma, Yash Vijayaswal, and then, you know, then their latest game, it was Dhruv Jarrell and Sanju Sampson, you know, really putting in more contributions. And I think, you know, out of 3 of those people that we've named, it was sort of their first major contributions from the tournament. It came this week, and Sanju Sampson's just had a super tournament, really. And I think now, you know, we were just touching on World Cup squads. Sounds like the India provisional squad might be named today or overnight. And, you know, I have seen a lot of people putting Sanju Sampson into that squad, which is very, very exciting for him. And, look, it's Rajasthan just keep rolling on, don't they?
Yeah, I guess in a, you know, you mentioned it, a bit of a topsy-turvy week. The constant is Rajasthan Royals remains. They've just been so good. And once again, they're finding other people or more members of the squad to win games with Dhruv Jarrell just absolutely standing up with Sanju Sampson to actually pull that last game out of the fire a little bit. They were they were under a little bit of pressure and they made it look easy really towards the end of that. I did want to mention a interesting sort of feeling I have about this team, and it's actually the same as, you know, we hate talking about the 2019 World Cup.
We don't.
Two of us do.
And then, you know, I'm sure the Indian fans don't like talking about the 2023 Cricket World Cup as well.
They probably don't like talking about the 2019 World Cup either, to be fair.
But that was a great run out, though. Back in your crease, MS. this has that same feeling where they look like they're going to be very, very hard to beat, and it's going to come down to a one-off final. They've carried all this momentum into it. Anything can happen in a final, but it has that same sort of feeling to me. They've just been so, so dominant. You've talked about penciling them in for the playoffs. I think we can get the permanent marker out, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
They've just been very, very good.
Yeah, I think what caught my eye this week was first real contribution from Jude Drell, who obviously had a pretty good series against, or half a series, I guess, against England in the Test series, and looked like he was going to potentially light up the IPL, but this is his first 50, I think, in the tournament.
Yeah.
Sanjay Sampson, we think he's on the plane, don't we? I mean, if you're not going to look at this as a set of performances for a T20 World Cup, then I don't know what you are going to look at in terms of the form book. It seems an obvious pick.
Such a lot of talent in the wicketkeeper batter in India. Like, it has actually, you know, it's bananas. You know, we like last, you know, on Monday or Friday, Thursday, whenever we recorded, Raj, we big upped Rishabh Pant. You know, you look at the rest of the squad. That means that someone like, if Sanju Sampson plays, then maybe KL Rahul misses out, and you know KL Rahul cops a lot of stick, but
Shreyas Iyer,
he's had a brilliant IPL. You know, we're just talking about wicketkeepers.
Yeah.
Yes, there's the young talent like Dhruv Jarrell, there's Ishan Kishan, there's Jitesh Sharma. Like, there's so many players. It really is an embarrassment of riches for India and the wicketkeeping stocks.
But even those guys are getting selected. They're getting put up against guys like Shreyas Iyer, like KL Rahul. I know he's a keeper as well, but they're actually in the mix just from a batting perspective, because we kind of know, I think, who's going to take the gloves.
Yeah, Rishabh's going to have the gloves, right?
I feel so. I don't know if you've seen much of his keeping so far. He has been outstanding behind the stumps in the last couple of weeks, definitely.
Yeah, look, he's been really good, and seen quite a lot on Instagram as well, like the way that he's been rehabbing. I mean, he looks as if he's really taken some of that time. And I don't know, because you don't see what he's done behind the scenes, but it seems to me as if whilst he was probably coming back from that injury, there was a bit of technical work going on, you know, that he was able to do with his keeping as part of that rehab. He looks really strong. He's getting in really, really good positions, particularly up to the stumps. Yeah, he's looked really, really good. And I think for me, the Samson conversation is he's there as a batter. I don't think he's, you know, he might stick the gloves in the bag.
Yeah.
But yeah, I wouldn't have thought he's going to wear them. Where do we go next, Stu? We're going to stick with the form book?
We're sticking with the table. It was up until last night, I sort of didn't know where I might go with the number two spot because of all these games kind of going all over the place. But KKR, with a win against Delhi, have retained that number two spot. You know, two games. They did lose to Punjab earlier in the week, but I think if you can qualify that by saying that they actually still did score 261. Obviously, it's not good to lose when you score 261, but I think in terms of how they're tracking, they're probably still happy with the batting side of that performance. Mitchell Stark wasn't there in that game. And then I thought this game overnight was quite an important one, because Delhi's just been red hot this week. We talked about them last week as a banana skin team. They're a side that had started to hit some form, and KKR just crushed them overnight. Really, convincing 7-wicket win, which again moved them, outright to second, ahead of this clump of teams that are on 10 points. So, look, after the run fest that we've kind of had, it was a little bit refreshing to see a game where the ball actually, took a little bit of turn and took a bit of grip off the pitch. And I think as a KKR fan, probably the number one thing I'm taking away from that is Varun Chakravarti's performance, because I would say he's had a pretty disappointing IPL. I know if you looked at the stats, I went and had a look today, he's taken 11 wickets from 9 games now, average of 27, economy rate of 9. And that kind of gives you the impression that maybe he's had kind of a consistent performance through the IPL. But I would say it's been really mixed. He's had a couple of little moments, but on the most part, it's been disappointing. So yeah, that was the biggest thing. And I think you get him, you've got Naren, and suddenly you're bowling, at least through the middle stages there, looks a lot more balanced and a lot more under control when you've got these young guys like Vaibhav and that are really being able to help, I guess, Mitchell Stark, who is still having a bit of a shocker of a tournament.
Yeah, I think that is important to note, the Mitchell Stark thing. He is clocking up some air miles. Yeah. He is definitely keeping the scorers working with the runs that are coming off his bowling. I would like to ask Baldy if he was here, is that a concern for him going into the World Cup? Because this isn't really turning a corner. Every now and then he looks good, but it's probably going to be similar pitches in the Caribbean and in America, I'm assuming, to India, maybe a little bit more, a little less suited to pace, perhaps. So that's one thing. Chakravarti, very good. He's had a couple of performances. He was very good in this innings or this game.
I like how the ball, he sort of had the ball swinging.
The spinners are definitely coming into it now. The ball is gripping, you mentioned there as well. But this win was a good one because it consolidated a loss that the Sunrisers had, and it shows how bad that loss earlier in the week was against Punjab. I know they scored a lot of runs and, you know, you can't be sad about that, but they really, if they had won that, they would really
have
put themselves into the playoffs.
Yeah, I think the other thing for me, for KKR, who were, one of the teams that I obviously keep a pretty decent eye on, is Shreyas Iyer's just kind of gone under the radar a little bit. He's had, I think, only 150 in the tournament so far. But if you look at the consistency, he's got, I think, 7 or 8 scores over, certainly over probably or around 30 and above. And there might be a sort of 20-odd in there, 28 or something in there. But he's just kind of providing that that sort of ballast, I guess, in the middle order. We've seen how good they've been in terms of the guys at the top, Sultan, Sunil Narine, and then we've seen those explosive performances that we would expect to see from Rinku and Dre Russ and Ramandeep to an extent as well throughout the course of the tournament. But Shreyas Iyer has just been very, very consistent.
Yeah,
and I think that bothers well for where they get
as well. I think
Venky as well. Yeah,
yeah.
And then I think on Stark, it's been, he's taken wickets or he's essentially gone for air miles and not.
Yeah.
So I think when they get into those playoff games, you'd probably want him on your team sheet because he's quite likely to knock the cream off the top of an order. And they've probably got enough of the bowling strength there. I think if he doesn't, he doesn't come off, it's, I guess, like a batter who's going to come off 1 out of 2. You'd probably take that, and probably that's Stark's success rate through the tournament.
Maybe I'm being too harsh on him in this World Cup. Maybe 1 for 43 is actually okay.
Yeah, the IPL. That's, well,
that is when
IPL.
You go for 260. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. So maybe I'm being too harsh on him, but be interesting to see how international stuff goes later on down the track.
I guess just to finish on them, I mean, I did want to pick up on your point about the openers. They have been fantastic. I know a lot's been said. We've talked a lot about Phil Salt. We probably kind of don't need to have that conversation again, and Sunil Narine, they've both been fantastic. But yeah, in this in one of the games this week, they were 79 for none after the power play. The other one, they were 70 for none after 5 overs against Punjab. And it's just, I saw an article that they in on Crick Info where they were talking about the openers, and I went into it because I just wanted to see some of the quotes from Phil Salt and kind of talking about how I found it interesting that he was saying, just talking about risk really, and how they try and take risks but also minimize risks, take the right matchups and all of that stuff, which was quite interesting to get his perspective on that. But I mean, in that article, they pointed out that these guys have got the best economy, strike rate or economy rate, I guess, for per overs of the whole tournament. They've been fantastic as a partnership.
And just on the run home, they've got 5 games to go. One of those, the last one, is against Rajasthan. So let's sort of leave that one out for now. But the other 4, they've got 2 against Mumbai, 1 against LSG, and 1 against Gujarat. So one of the, sort of staples of KKR this tournament, they've beaten who they should. Mm. And they actually have also, aside from Punjab Kings, have lost to probably who they were going to lose to maybe, or more of a 50-50 game.
Yeah.
So their run home is going to tell us a lot about what kind of side they are.
Where do we go next, Jay?
Next was a lot harder because a lot of these teams, as I said, were, they kept beating each other. They were losing games that I kind of thought on paper they were going in favourite. And I've settled on CSK as my third side. And look, they had a very disappointing loss, back-to-back losses really, to LSG that we talked about a little bit earlier, late last week, Raj. And I think that was disappointing because they were in control of that game for large periods of that match. But they did bounce back with a big win against Sunrisers, another side obviously in this mix. And you could convince me that they are too high here, but I think I sort of come around on what we talked about last week. I said last week that I was concerned maybe a little bit that the fact that they're sort of so balanced and they play a more conservative style. I think it's fair enough to say they play a more conservative style than certainly the two sides that we've talked about, certainly Sunrisers. Even though Gaikwad is, you know, which we'll touch on in a minute, his performances now have really started to ramp up. I think the way that they play is certainly more risk averse. But I think in a way that makes them the most likely now out of all of these teams that are in the mix, in my head, to actually do enough to get into the playoffs, and then suddenly you're sort of a shot. So yeah, out of all the three, out of the three or four teams that are left on 10 points, I would say that CSK are the one that makes me feel good enough about saying you're in the playoffs.
Yeah, it feels like, I guess you kind of mentioned it there, it feels like they're playing within themselves a little bit, which, leads to consistency. They're going to consistently be able to do this. And you saw it this week. Mm. They consistently put up 210 or around that figure this week. Unfortunately, they lost one. But they seem to have their innings timing down pat. I mentioned it on Thursday, that sort of 6-8 finisher role for Dubé. Again, it was textbook in this last game. They seem to have gone, how are we going to score 210 runs consistently? And they've found the way to do it. And when they execute, they do it well. It's just there are games which are coming up where they have to chase 240 or score 240 in order to win, which are obviously throwing a spanner into the works. But look, I think they'll get a great boost here beating Sunrisers, the possible set finals team as well. It was a good win as well. It'll be interesting to talk about Sunrisers when we get to them, because it's starting to show a little bit, sort of pendulum swinging a little bit. But I also think that Gaikwad has found a real purple patch, and he is really leading them up front, and he's doing a great job setting that platform for guys like Dubé and the great Mahendra Singh Dhoni, who just keeps clocking up the
keeps
runs.
Keeps delivering that strike
250.
Rate. How much do you think of that is the fact that he was made captain? Like, do you think that is, it's always going to improve your psyche when you've got some of the guys they've got in their camp and you're the guy that's chosen to lead? Has that helped him, do you think?
It depends, right? Because we saw this happen a couple of years ago with Ravindra Jadeja, who looks like one of the strongest mentally tough cricketers that are going around, and he really struggled. They acknowledged it early on. Fleming said, we didn't have the support in place at that time.
Yeah.
They've obviously thought how they're going to do this and how they're going to transition that leadership, and he's obviously getting that support. So, yes, I think that it can go both ways, and in this case, it's made him puff his chest out a little bit.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty telling when he was getting some criticism earlier on in the season for his strike rate. He was scoring, pretty much at 100, his strike rate was earlier in the year. And Fleming, was effusive in his praise for Gaikwad. He said, he really backed him up. He made a special point to kind of get in front of the media and talk about Gaikwad. And basically since that moment, he scored that 60, runnable 60 that was exactly what they needed to get them home, I think against KKR at that time. And then it's just been slow every single game. He's been picking up that rate. And, when he bats, he doesn't necessarily, certainly at the start of his innings, he's not like going over the top in the way that Phil Salt and Noreen and those guys are doing. But when he's at his best, he's just picking the gaps. He's just punching those balls through cover, driving, and it's super, super effective. And he's really, really building into this tournament. And we know, right? If you've got a strong opening, not even necessarily an opening pair, one strong opener can get you, so far in this tournament. We saw what Shubman Gill was able to do last year for Gujarat. So if they've got him going, it's really, really positive stuff.
Yeah, I also think just to pick up on their bowling as well. So I think we talked about Deshpande in the preview show, I think, and tip to him as one to watch. He's had a relatively quiet tournament, forfeit in obviously this last game. And I think the way that they've got their bowling attack, we've talked about the fizz quite a lot. Obviously, Jadeja's always going to be someone with a decent economy rate. They just go a little bit under the radar, I think, in terms of that bowling attack. And always seems to be someone that does the business for them. I think they're really well placed, third in the table and third in the Lipshore Index as well, to get one of those spots. And you wouldn't want to come up against them in a must win with some of the experience that they've got. I know you want to talk about Daryl Mitchell as well. There's a New Zealand connection, and if we can get it into the podcast, we should.
Yeah, look, I mean, from a New Zealand point of view, it's just great to see him get some runs. I mean, he's been sort of I don't know that he's been struggling necessarily. He just hasn't, like, he hasn't been able to kind of kick on. I think he's been able to sort of get into some innings, and then it's been time to accelerate, and he hasn't been accelerating. And, you know, he was left out of the side for a while, but now he, you know, comes back in, gets 50. And, yeah, I think that's 50 off 30 balls is exactly kind of what you want from Mitchell. And I think from a CSK point of view, if they're getting him going, they've got him to add to Dubé, who we, you know, who you touched on before, who, if Dubé isn't in this India World Cup squad, then I really think they've got rocks in their head, because he is just such a damaging player, and the power that he has, and is the way he's able to just, like, you know, he can just club it. Like, the power, I'm not always a big fan of someone who just stands there and clubs it, but actually, you know, that's what he does, and he can kind of hit anything, you know, with that power over the ropes, you know, in a better way, I think, in many ways than, like, sometimes we talk about with Glenn Phillips, that he's able to just kind of get his miss hits that go for six. But, yeah, Dubé is doing a great job.
Yeah, he definitely is. Just going back to Daryl Mitchell, who was a magnet for catches as well. I think you got five catches. I think he is one of the people who has been affected. There's been a lot in the tournament who have been affected, who are batting at about four, who are setting up a score of 200 to win a game. Mm. And that has completely been thrown out of the window after the first couple of weeks of the IPL. 200's not going to definitely win you a game of 2020 in the IPL. And I think going to that next level in terms of accelerating, when to accelerate, a lot of number fours are struggling to do that towards the end. And I think he's sort of fallen into that trap a little bit. He did really well in this game, 50 off 30 odd. He looked good. Mm. But he probably is going to have to go a little bit quicker.
I think if we're going to be really critical of Daryl Mitchell, I think what he could be doing better in this tournament is turning the dots into ones. Mm. I think he's had, you know, I don't have the dot ball percentage, but I think, you know, when I've been watching him, there's been more dots off than I would have liked, I think. And, you know, we know how powerful he is down the ground. We know what he can do and how he can kind of, you know, have two dots and then go 6-4 and suddenly, you know, you've won the over again. But I think, yeah, if you're going to turn 200 into 220, 240, it's about scoring off every single ball, which we might get to when we talk about a couple of the other guys who later on who've really set this week on fire.
Let's move on. We're going to talk about a team that I'm pretty sure we have written off at some point in our in our power rankings, but they're coming in number five, I think, on the list, or number four on the list. Sorry.
Yeah, we're four, and we're at LSG, and look, it was a great start for them earlier this week, knocking over CSK, and you know, the second of those back-to-back games they have, winning both of those games, had really put them in a nice position. Stoyanis's 100, as Raj and I touched on earlier in the week. But then beaten by Rajasthan, which I guess at the weekend, you know, there's no shame in that. We've talked about how good Rajasthan has been going. They're right in the mix now for the playoff spots. But as you touched on before, I just can't shake the feeling that this doesn't feel to me like a side that can really push to win the title. Am I alone in this feeling?
No, definitely not. I think now we're sort of getting into the next tier of teams in terms of, it doesn't look like they're going to trouble those teams that we've already talked about on a regular basis.
Mm. Even though they just beat CSK twice.
Even though they beat CSK, but CSK still in that. Yeah. You know, it's sort of broken away now with those top two.
Yeah.
But look, they struggle to take wickets against Rajasthan Royals. There's no real standouts with the ball from my perspective for the Sunrisers, for LSG. We talked about them missing I've lost my place here. So Amit Mishra came in and Kunal Pandya came in, and they bowled well through the middle there with the spinning and that. But our Rajasthan Royal just canted. Rajasthan Royals just cantered home, didn't they?
They did. They did. Wasn't it nice to see an Amit Mishra?
It was.
I love that.
And the celebration?
Yeah.
How good.
Yeah. I was very pleased to see that.
What else have you got on the LSG?
Yeah, look, I guess the two people I probably wanted to highlight is, apart from Amit Mishra, who I, as I said, really love to see him back. I do think that KL Rahul, if he does not make this IPL, this Indian squad for the World Cup, he's he can fit, not hard done by, because there's, as we touched on, there's so many players around him that, you know, are so talented, and India's got so much depth. But I think if you'd have said to him, okay, what do we want to see from you in this IPL, KL? He's probably delivered all of it except maybe the big 100. Like, he's gone out and he's got, you know, he's averaging 42 with the bat, which is not boosted by not outs or anything like that. He's legitimately been out in every single innings and he's still averaging 42. His strike rate is up to 144, which, you know, again, for him, that's been a big boost. That's well above his, you know, his career strike rate at the top of the order. So I think he's been doing everything you want from him. You know, in the Rajasthan game, he was there, sort of had to rebuild that innings, did a really nice job with Deepak Hooda. I think he's ticking a lot of boxes, but yeah, maybe he hasn't quite got the explosive 100 to win them a game that you'd have to do to put himself over the edge of a Sanju Sampson or something like that.
Well, his role is actually being played a little bit better by a few others in the league at the moment, the likes of Virat Kohli. You've got Shreyas Iyer as a comparison who's doing it on a consistent basis as well.
Well, and I guess if he's going to play in the top of the order, there's just no spots in the top of that order, correct, right? If they're going to go Sharma, Jaiswal, Kohli and Sky.
Yeah.
He has to bat 4 or 5, 6.
And he can't do the role he's currently doing in those places.
Yeah.
I think that he probably will be there. They like to pick him from an experience point of view. I think that he'll make the squad.
Yeah.
But how many games he'll play, I'm not sure there. I just wanted to ask a question about the top order there. We've talked about Quinton de Kock a little bit. Now we see Marcus Stoinis been elevated even further. Raj is happy with that into the opening position. But those two got incredibly good nuts against Rajasthan Royals. They were stumps went flying. They're beautiful.
Yeah.
But
I was thinking we have to have we might need another cap for best like the best. Well, the best stumps go flying.
Well, you can't wear a cap when you're doing that, can you?
Well, I guess not. But you know, Patirana's one. We just talked about CSK, but Patirana's one to clean up was fantastic. But
you mentioned it getting to the 196, KL and Hooda sort of rescuing it. It wasn't even close to enough.
Yeah.
So losing those wickets at the top of the order, is that something for them that's really, really important that they need to have that platform, them in particular?
Yeah, I think if you look at the teams that we've talked about already, the guys that are at the top of the table, one of the common factors there is they've had contributions from probably two or three of their top four every single game, or certainly in the vast percentage of those games. Mm. You look at Marcus Stoinis, his scorecards look binary. He's either getting runs or he's not. The same to an extent with Quinton de Kock as well. It really is only Kal Rahul at the top of the order that's had that consistency. And then they've been relying on those contributions in the middle order to keep them in the hunt. And, you know, they are in the hunt where they are on the table and where they are on the Lipshaw index. But I think when we actually look at, you know, why they're not further up the table is that consistency of that top order, which is what we've seen from the teams that... And look, that sounds a really, really obvious thing to say, but I think particularly where you've got the impact player rule that's come in, what we're seeing is teams going really, really hard, really, really early. And those are the teams that are flying through the tournament.
We need some kind of sort of ringing bell for the turquoise cap announcement.
Yeah.
Every year we could put that in, it'd be great. Last week I wasn't here. It was given out to... Who was it? Someone last week?
Who did I give it to? I might have given it to Shashank Singh. No, I think I gave it to Ashutosh.
Ashutosh, very, very good.
Yeah.
Well, he has to hand that over to Marcus Stoinis this week. An incredible 6 in that 100 he got against Moeen Ali. Oh, yeah. I mentioned on Thursday, I think that ball is still travelling. you know, we were tracking it on the flight tracker and it's still going. It was a massive 6. And as I mentioned earlier, size matters on this podcast and it was massive.
Okay. Fair enough. I've got a few, I had a few other candidates that I might just give a brief, you know, nod to as we go. Before we leave,
Rajasthan. Probably can't have the cap though now. It's been announced. Yeah.
Yeah, they can't have the cap, but I will at least give them, you know, a cap of no value or some kind of shout out.
The aquamarine cap.
A cap of no value. What an award.
The before we leave LSG, I did want to just mention Matt Henry has made the New Zealand squad for the T20 World Cup. in some ways I was surprised by that announcement. I mean, obviously the fact that he's been so good and underrated, I think, in white ball formats for New Zealand, we've touched on a lot in the last few years. He's become one of our most important test bowlers as well. It's not that he's not a really good bowler. It's more that just he hasn't been quite in the T20 mix, and there's been some of these other young guys coming through. Yeah, were you surprised?
Oh, it's also his style of bowling. It's probably less suited to 2020 cricket, where he's probably, you know, there or thereabouts every time on a hard length. But, you know, we thought that prior to Josh Hazlewood excelling in this format as well, and he's been one of the best bowlers going around. So I have no problem with him going in there. I like experience going into these bigger tournaments. And look, I don't think he's going to let us down. I'll put it that way. So fully behind the selection.
Look, I am as well. And I actually think, you know, I would love to see him. I hope he's going to be picked ahead of Southee. I just think that, you know, Henry Bolt. I mean, I'm actually slightly disappointed that Ben Sears is a travelling reserve. I wish he was actually in that squad. I think he's been fantastic. You know, those young guys stepping up in Pakistan for New Zealand. I know we're sort of getting sidetracked here, but we'll see. But
I think it depends a lot on the wickets as well in this tournament. And you know, we're playing on some grounds in the US where, you know, there isn't a lot of history. So, you know, the analysts haven't been able to do heaps of work around that. And you guys play some games, I think, in the US, don't you?
No, not at the start. We're in the West Indies to start with.
I think that that's probably why Henry's got the Guernsey. I think his ability to be consistent, I think he's going to be important if they do play on some of those slower decks, because he's got the ability to bowl to one side of the ground, which I think is going to be, you know, relatively important. And some of the guys that maybe can't do that a little bit more luxurious on those kind of decks. But there you go. Where are we going next? We talked about the LSG, and we've just given a bit of a nod. I think we're going to go Sunrisers next, aren't we?
We are, and you sort of touched on something that in talking about the openers that I want to talk about with Sunrisers, because I think it's maybe the most stark of all. So they, you know, they were flying high last week, absolutely back to the pack with a thud this week with two losses and two really disappointing losses. You know, the first to RCB and then, you know, crushed by CSK at the weekend, 134 all out. And, you know, like I said, I want to start by sort of asking you guys that where are we sort of at with the Sunrisers approach? Because do we just have to go, do you have to go nowadays that, you know, when you go all out attack like they do, that there are going to be days where, you know, it all goes wrong and you are all out 134. Do you just accept that? Or does this week kind of suggest that they are getting a bit too reliant on Travis Head and Abhishek Sharma getting them off to a flyer? Otherwise, they don't win these games.
Yeah, I think the sort of one-dimensional nature of the batting is sort of holding them back a little bit. However, in saying that, I do think it's a little bit deeper. We had Prophet Binksy a couple of weeks ago saying what is Sunrisers going to look like trying to chase a big score rather than them setting a big score, and they've been chasing here and they've sort of really struggled, especially against CSK chasing a, you know, score of 200 odd. I just think that they that one dimensional batting is actually getting them into a bit of trouble. They were chasing 210. They didn't have to set 270.
Yeah.
It's a different style of batting that's required. But just before we go a bit deeper into it, I do think it's just generally across the sort of IPL. It's interesting to note that chasing nines is probably, teams are finding that easy.
Yeah.
Chasing 11s is hard. So there's a very, very big gap there between a small window there where if you score runs as batting team first, you can really squeeze them on the team that's batting second, and that's the number. It's almost 220 that's hard to beat when you're chasing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think...
We see the Punjab Kings.
Yeah, look,
generally.
I don't disagree with anything you've said. And yeah, we talked about them chasing rather than setting last week. We try and come up with a lot of trends, don't we? And when we look at it, they've lost 2-2. And then you kind of go back to probably last week's podcast and they've just won 3-3.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's just how quickly the pendulum swings. And I guess that, you know, the litmus test of whether their approach works or not is whether they make the playoffs. And then the question is, do you continue with that way of playing all the way through the tournament. You know, I can't remember the exact quote, but, you know, the most difficult place to be is an NFL locker room at halftime in the Super Bowl, and you change your plan with half a game to go. So that's going to be the litmus test as to whether or not they can get there. Because we talked early in the tournament about how well Klaassen and Markram were going. We were saying Head was quiet. All of a sudden, he came alive. So look, I think, you know, for them, and look, it, again, real cliche, but they've got a game that probably you would say they should lose against the Royals coming up next. They then play Mumbai Indians, who we haven't even spoken about yet, which, you know, gives a bit of an indication of where they are from a table and a tournament perspective. So they've got an opportunity to kind of get back in. They finished their campaign against the Punjab. So they've got, you know, they've almost got destiny in their, you know, in their hands here, I think, if they can have another little run, maybe not 3-3 or 4-4 like they did leading into last week. But if they can get 3 out of 5, then you'd think they're at the, you know, very much back, at the races.
I do feel like their bowling can go for a lot of runs here as well at times, even when they are scoring big runs, batting first. Pat Cummins is back to bowling fifth change in this game, I believe it was. Very strange to me. But look, I just think that we talk about momentum and we're going into the back part of the tournament here, two sort of bad losses in a row. Pendulum's starting to swing the other way, so they've got to do something quick.
Yeah, and they strike me as a side that is going to double down, if anything. They're going to say, this is our approach, and we're going to play this way, and if it works for us, like you say, we'll get in the playoffs, and if we don't, then we won't, and, you know, it'll go down in flames, because even the way that they batted in those two games, yeah, they were, you know, 100 for 5 or whatever in a couple of those games, and Pat Cummins is out there swinging for the fences. You know, they're not worried about run rate. They're going, we can win this game from anywhere, and we're going to keep going. So, yeah, look, I don't know that there's much more to say on them, especially in the sense that, yeah, I think you said it before, Binksy, we will find out over the next couple of weeks whether, you know, how successful they can be with this formula.
Where are we off to next? Potential banana skin, I think you've got written down.
So DC, so they've been a very interesting team, and they played 3 games since we last did the power rankings, and last, you know, when we did that, we said they were a potential banana skin side a week ago, and you know, before the KKR game last night, I was thinking maybe they're a side that's actually better than that, and I still, in many ways, think that they are. I think if you took out the start of their tournament, they are, you know, if you probably took out the first 3 games of the season, they're one of the form sides still.
Can RCB take out the first 8 of their
exactly. I know that's not how it kind of works, but they've been a side that's, you know, suddenly found a formula that looks good, largely off the back of someone who, you know, we said that when we said they're done, it was because Mitchell Marsh was injured. Little did we know that, you know, Jake Fraser-McGurk was going to come in and have maybe the biggest impact of any Australian, probably throughout the entire tournament. And I mean, honestly, the way that he played in the last game, I want to read out, it's kind of ridiculous, but I want to read out his ball by ball chart of his 84 or 5 or whatever it was off 27 balls.
Because stay tuned, it gets better after this.
It is absolutely bananas. He first, you know, he goes 4 forward, 6 dot 4 1 6, which was first ball from Bumrah, 4 1 4 4 wide 4 4 dot 6, so that's 50 off 15 balls. 4 1 1 4 dot 6, which I've written down, went miles and miles from Hardik. .466 dot out, caught deep mid wicket, and like that's 84 runs off 20. He had 84 off 25. He was, you know, at that point we were going, will he make the fastest IPL 100? A dot ball from Puyush Chawla, and then hits one down deep mid wicket's throat, trying to get, you know, closer to that 100. But it has been phenomenal, and the last couple of weeks we've been saying, are they going to pick him for Australia? I mean, they have to now. He has just been fantastic.
I think if they don't pick him, he must have not done something right.
Is he in for one of Smith or Labuschagne then, that were kind of half on the plane, do you think?
Smith's not even playing. Yeah. Like, even if he gets selected, he sometimes doesn't play. Labuschagne is a white, red ball specialist. Yeah. No, I think Jake Fraser-McGurk needs to be there. It's 2020 cricket. This is a it's almost a different sport now in terms of to the longer forms of the game.
I don't want to say it, but is there a chance he comes in for Warner?
There definitely is a chance that he comes in for Warner. I have been thinking that as well. Definitely. I don't have anything else to expand on that.
Yep.
Other than you're
yes.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. But all the analysts will have noted that you've got a 1 in 3 chance of getting him out if you bowl a dot ball.
Okay.
So 3 dot balls, and he was out after one of them. So There you go. Just don't let him hit 6s and 4s.
That's the key. Bowl dot balls.
Bowl dot balls. Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually think that Kuldeep Yadav, even though his performances have been less inspiring over the last couple of games, he definitely pulls that team together. I think I like the look of them with him in the side. Their bowling can at times let them down. That's their sort of banana skin. Mm. But from a batting perspective, they've got so many different weapons. Fraser McGurk, who's been added. Shai Hope, I don't know if you could hear the sound his bat. Ooh. Was incredible. I don't know what kind of wood his bat is made out of, some kind of harder willow than we think. And he had some good turquoise caps nominations in there as well.
I had one of his down here, actually.
And
I have to say, when you're talking about him, I'm not excited about playing the West Indies in this T20 World Cup. They are in our pool, New Zealand's. And, yeah, when we look at all the West Indies players that have been performing throughout this World Cup or throughout this IPL and the prospect that some of these guys, Nareen and Russell, might be brought back into the fold.
Yeah, well, I think Russell's been in and around the side for a little while now. But, yeah, Nareen, they're trying to have a conversation as to whether he comes out of retirement, aren't they?
And Shai Hope is someone who seemed like he could only play one-day cricket for some reason, but now it's just been able to...
I think it's about the West Indies Cricket Board getting out of their own way there. I think if they want to pick the best team available. The last person I want to talk about, kind of an unsung hero, is Tristan Stubbs. He has been very, very good for the majority of this tournament. He made some of the bowling look absolutely amateur with his little flicks that he had towards the end of that game. One of the games against Mumbai, was it?
Yeah,
he's been very, very good.
Didn't he go? He went flick, normal, conventional flick, reverse flick, reverse flick.
Yeah.
And then I think he hit two through mid wicket. Two balls.
So he can play those shots, and then he can play those belligerent shots straight down the ground or in front of the wicket.
Yeah.
I don't know how you bowl to him.
Yeah, yeah. No, they would have been fantastic.
Yeah, and just named in the South Africa squad as well. They literally just put their squad out 2 or 3 minutes ago.
So, very exciting.
We won't cover it.
They're gone
though.
Yeah,
they're gone because we said 8 wins. They need to win every game from here to finish on 8 wins.
Problem is, they've played 11 games.
Yeah. I think that is the thing for them. You know, unfortunately, that winning run that they were on stopped last night against KKR, and the fact, as you say, they've played 11 games, which is two more than most of the sides that they're stuck on 10 points with, and that negative run rate as well. I mean, the big loss that they had last night. It means that I think they would have to win those 3 games that they've got remaining and kind of hope that results go their way because, it's just
Mumbai are 2 games behind them with 2 games in hand, if you look at it from that perspective. And they have Rajasthan, Mumbai and LSG to finish off their tournament as well.
Yeah, it's not easy.
We're moving away from the table here, so we're going to go, I think, to the form team, aren't we?
Look, we are going to RCB.
Oh my goodness, we are
at 7. And look, this is too high. I will fully admit this. But finally, a good week for RCB. And I just thought, look, 2 games, 2 wins, a nice performance against Sunrisers, and then Will Jacks and Kohli just combined to go absolutely nuts. Certainly, Will Jacks to take down Gujarat, and I just thought it was time to give them some love. Raj, look, just give me some excitement about RCB. It's been a long time coming, but it's been a fun week for RCB fans.
Yeah, look, unfortunately, you're not going to get much excitement out of me because it's actually sadness that this is what we could have seen for the whole tournament. This is the blueprint that they had here. Let me just sort of read my notes here. They had a bowling – this is RCB that we thought we would see more of. They're decent – sort of batting innings paired with a bowling performance that was not necessarily destructive, but restrictive. Mm-hmm. That was their blueprint going forward. They knew they weren't going to win games with the ball, but they just needed to stop teams from scoring 250 against them every week,
yeah.
every couple of days. Batting has been much, much better. Will Jacks, I'll let you talk about him in a second, was incredible. I did think on a negative note, and I don't like being negative about Virat Kohli on this podcast, against the Sunrisers, that 206/7 was enough to win that game. But I do think Kohli's 51/43.
Yes.
There is a slight difference between, you know, anchoring your team and being an anchor within your team. And he was flirting with that line there. But, Cam Green, like seeing him back in the team. He can play a role with both the bat and the ball. That's what I was excited when he first came as part of those changes
great
that happened.
Great catch, actually, as well.
Great catch, great bowling, great batting. He can really smack the ball. This is just, it's very sad because I thought that this is what we could see from RCB this year, a team that consistently scores over 200, 220. Little did I know that everybody would be doing that,
but
then being able to have a bowling attack that could just restrict and they just haven't done that this year.
Siraj though had a little moment at least if we're talking about the stumps. Caps of no value or whatever we want to call those, very nice delivery to hit the stumps.
I also like Khan Sharma and Swapnil Singh. We've talked a little bit about the spinners for RCB struggling or not necessarily having those spinners. 4/69/7, story of the bowling innings, and Will Jacks getting that wicket. This is the Sunrisers game I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Will Jacks getting that wicket of Travis Head early in the game. That's the blueprint.
The Swapnil Singh, I think, his over against, maybe it was the Sunrisers because he got Markram with that full toss. We missed that big full toss and got him LBW. Mm. That over where he got 2/19 off the over, nothing sums up the IPL of 2024 more than that. That you can go for 19 and get two massive wickets of, you know, Markram and Klaassen in the same over. And yeah, just bananas kind of stuff. But I think it's time for you to talk about Will Jacks, Binksy.
Yeah, well, Will Jacks, look, I'm really, really glad he's got a couple of scores in the last three games. Obviously, the 100 that we were talking about. I think that gets him definitely onto the plane for the World Cup. I think there was probably a question mark, particularly with the likes of Livingston and Hartley and Rashid probably goes as our first spinner. So there's probably a question mark around who might provide that, you know, fourth, fifth spin option, which we've always wanted to have, I think, in our white ball team. So, yeah, look, I think he's now got his boarding pass. But I saw that he'd got 100 and I was watching the highlights and he was 16/16 and I thought I must have the wrong game, like, because he gets 100, I know he gets 100 off 40 balls and he's on 16/16, so I kind of exited off the video and went to Crick Info to check I was watching the right game, and then obviously was and turned it back on, and look, that was, you know, 6 minutes of pure unadulterated, look, if there's a cap, it's the, I don't know, the polka dotted cudgel or something like that, because that was just absolutely brutal. And we talk about the sound off the bat. The sound off his bat was really, really pleasant. No aesthetics in there, Raj? Nothing? I mean, I would agree.
The one to win the game was pretty nice.
There was some very nice stroke playing.
Yeah, there wasn't anything really of a turquoise.
Not really. He's not in my... great nominations this week.
But that's fair enough.
A good innings nonetheless.
The last, to, you know, to pick up on your point, the last 14 balls, I've got another run for you.
Oh, you got it written
six,
down. Okay, make a cup of tea.
6, 1, 4, 6, 6, 2, 6, 4, .66, 4, 6, 6. 14 balls, 8 sixes, 3 fours. His final 63 runs of 14 balls.
Yeah,
absolutely remarkable.
But I certainly think for that last little that last little run there, the 6, 6, 4, 6, 6, you've got to give a lot of credit to Kohli, who got him on strike.
and was super excited, wasn't he?
He was.
Just a question for you, Binksy, putting you on the spot here.
Yeah.
If you had to guess, how many sixes do you reckon have been hit at this World Cup so far? Oh, sorry, this IPL so far.
633.
Not even close.
Yeah, so it's in the 800s, isn't it?
It's approaching 900.
And it's funny.
And it's not even 50 games yet.
It seems silly that I'm going to say this, but I saw that number and I'm like, oh, that must be for the entire IPL. And then I'm like, no, that's not right. I couldn't believe it. 800 sixes so far.
Yeah.
So that's a record already, presumably.
I don't know. It's not. I don't think it is yet.
No.
But but it is
still a lot of games to go.
It's an astonishing number. And you know, again, I saw an article this week as well saying, you know, have Sixers kind of lost their luster because they're happening so much? And I mean, in a way, they kind of have. Like, I don't think it's a silly thing to say.
I do think this is probably a bigger conversation to have, whether this is actually interesting cricket to watch. Mm. You know, I love watching batting. I love watching, you know, cricket in general, but the bowlers just don't have a shot here in a lot of times here. It's incredible. I think, you know, when we sum this up at the end, that's going to be an interesting conversation to have.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I think we could go into that for a long time.
Well, let's move on. We're going to go to the oldest trick in the coaching book, which is piss off Johnny Bairstow, and then you get a performance out of him in the next game. So obviously dropped for one game and then back into the side in 100. So we've got Punjab next, I think.
We do. We have Punjab. And yeah, just the one game this week, but a super impressive win against KKR. Finally played a match that didn't finish in the final over. They sort of figured out that, you know, if you don't finish the game in the final over, you've got a much better chance of winning. But it meant that they chased down 261 in the 19th over, I think with about 8 balls to spare, only 2 down, thanks to, you know, that top quality Johnny Bairstow innings. And, you know, you just talked about Will Jacks being on 17 off 17. Bairstow was on 16 off 11 balls in the chase. And then he hit a 6 that made Danny Morrison go, "Happy Humpty" here at EG. And I was like, what? Happy Humpty? Which I think sort of happens every time I hear Danny Morrison talk. I think I've touched on him before. But at that point, that was part of a 24 run over that just kickstarted them. And you know, he ended up getting his 100 off 45 balls. He was batting with Prabh Simran at that time. They ended up getting 93 off the power play. Like, it was just carnage. And then even going into Shashank Singh, who we might touch on a little bit later. But yeah, Bairstow, any words from you?
Look, just when you kind of put him into that position, he tends to want to prove you wrong. And look, he's the kind of player that's, you know, going to come off, and certainly came off in that game. You know, they didn't bowl particularly well to him, I don't think. But yeah, look, the one takeaway for me is that Danny Morrison as a commentator, he's one man that cannot be replaced by AI, because you just cannot predict that shit, can you?
No, but I actually really enjoy it. I know, you know, other people may not have that same.
No, I don't like it.
I actually really like it. And look, he keeps getting contracts, so he must be doing something.
I think the IPL and the six hitting bonanza is the place, but there is no better commentary place for Danny Morrison. In that sort of environment where Sixers are flying all over the place, because
there would be,
things are getting fatted all over the place.
If there was a game on Mars, that would be the place for him.
Happy Humpty, it's certainly fun. Where does Bairstow fit in the England squad, though? Because, you know, you've got now a few different options, I think, at the top of the order in terms of you've got Butler, you've got Salt, you've got Jacks, who's making a bit of a case now. You've got Bairstow now. So there's 4 guys who could potentially open. And I think if, you know, certainly maybe it comes down to where Joss Butler wants to bat, because in the past he's flirted with batting at different spots. And was he even, sort of in the middle order in the last edition of the World Cup, was he?
No, I think Butler opened the batting. Yeah, so I think they did have an experiment with him down the order. So I've kind of did a little bit of work on this. So I've got Butler as one of my bankers, and I think I've got Salt as a banker, and
you have to pick Salt.
And I've got Brooke as a banker. And then I was really struggling in terms of the other batters that I think might get a gig. Bairstow, I think you have to pick him because, and it sounds really, really weird, England probably don't have, 4 or 5 absolute gun, pure batsmen. They've got the likes of your Livingstons. They've got someone like a Jacks that can come in. They've got a Moeen Ali, Roy's gone burger. Mm-hmm. So I think Bairstow,
Duckett's going to make the squad.
So I think Duckett's probably going to make the squad. And they're going to pick one, I think, of Duckett or Crawley, because, you know, they've given them both a run in T20s.
Yeah.
I think Duckett's probably been the better of the two in terms of strike rates and all that kind of stuff. So I think he's on the plane. But Bairstow for me now goes into that. Whether he plays is another question, but he's the other guy that is if you've got 4 genuine batters and then you load that middle order with a bunch of all-rounders, and a Butler goes down on the eve of the game, or a Salt or whoever it might be, he's the guy that, you know, is a batter that comes in to do that job in the top four, from an experience perspective. The difficulty will be where do they fit him in?
Yeah.
If they go with what I think they will go with at the top of the order, which will be Butler and Salt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In terms of the Kings, yeah, I've liked seeing Livingston in and amongst the team. I think he offers something on both sides of the ball. And, you know, I think they've been better with him in the side over the last few games, three or four games that he has played. I have been a very big critic of the Punjab Kings. I do that with love because I want to see them do well. Mm-hmm. But again, this was a horrendous bowling effort against KKR. Sure, it was a great batting effort to chase that down, but yeah, they chased 260, over 260 to win that game.
Yeah.
Fielding wasn't great either. There were some
horrendous drops. Yeah.
Look, they're not going to do this consistently. A win, it's great to see them win, and they've actually come very close in a lot of the games that they've lost so far.
Yeah.
But they've been so far out of the game, then they just somehow put something together to come back at the end. Here they managed to actually seal the deal and get the W.
Yeah.
But just struggling with consistency. They will struggle with consistency with the current formula they have.
Totally. And look, a bright light that has come out obviously has been Shashank Singh. And I just wanted to pick out a few stats because it has been a fantastic season. You know, I think we said it when he first had his performance, we were kind of like, oh, this is cool. You know, you get these players that you don't necessarily know that come out of the blue and put in a big performance. But now he's had 9 matches, 5 not outs in those games, which has led to a healthy average of 65. But he's got 250s. He's striking at 182. And he continues to be a great watch and kind of been given more and more responsibility. Obviously comes in at 4, gets 68 not out off 28 balls, hits, you know, 6 yeah. sixes, or 8 sixes, sorry. You know, lovely, lovely stuff. And, you know, even Prabhsimran run. I think yeah. I had him down that Chimera slower ball, bowled him a slower ball, and he hit it, smashed it straight down the ground. That was one of my turquoise cap contenders that yeah. I was hoping to see on the shortlist.
And then Ashutosh has been good as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Very good.
Well, approaching the hour mark, Liam Livingstone, I just don't get it. I really don't get it.
You don't know why I like him?
Well, I just, he's played, I think, 10 T20s now without a 50. I can't understand it.
They've started counting 30s now. Yeah. 50 might not be the
might be the litmus test. Okay. Where are we going? Where are we going next? So not quite the bottom of the pile, but very close to it. Yeah,
down at 9, I've got Gujarat Titans. And I think we looked at their fixtures over the past couple of weeks, and we've been going, look, they've got sides below them on the ladder. You know, this is their chance to make a big run, but they just haven't been able to take it. 2 games, 2 losses, going down to DC and RCB. The last one, you know, an absolute pounding with RCB chasing it down and, you know, chasing 200 down and 1 down inside 16 overs, as we talked about with Jackson Coley. It's just been a really bad week for the Titans, lads, and I don't even know what else to say. Apart from, you know, probably the person that the thing that I thought was their banker in their bowling has even that's gone off the rails over the past week. Someone like Mohit Sharma, who was the leading wicket taker in last season's IPL, he had 14 games, 27 wickets, average of 13, economy rate of 8. This season, it's, you know, it's 10 wickets from 10 games at 36, economy rate of nearly 11, which doesn't sound terrible. But the last 2 games in particular, he's gone for 73 off his 4 against DC and 41 off 2 against RCB, which means that the last 6 overs he's bowled have cost him 114 runs. And people are just picking every single change-up that he bowls. It's just going, you know, totally off the rails for him. And, this Gujarat season seems to be doing the same.
Yeah, you know, we can pick out one or two people, and it might be a bit harsh. He's one of them, but the spin bowling has started to lose a lot of its luster as well. They're missing a strike bowler, and help me out, Mayank Yadav.
LSG Yadav.
Oh, sorry, they're missing a strike bowler, though. I feel in someone. I don't have them in notes, but I just feel like their batting is actually something that was a staple of theirs. They're making that first sort of power play 10 overs, first half of the innings, look really difficult. Their batting within themselves, like we've talked a little bit about CSK, maybe they could be a little bit more aggressive, but they're just making that first 60 balls look like pulling teeth for them. And look, they are sometimes getting to a decent score, but then the bowling has been letting them down as well. I think that they're in a world of pain here. I feel like they could really struggle towards the later half of this tournament.
Well, they've had nothing from Saha, have they? Mm. They've had nice performances from Sai Sudarshan. They've every now and again Shubman Gill contributes, but he just hasn't had the wealth of runs that he had last season that kind of propelled them up towards the top of the ladder. And they're just not getting contributions they need, are they?
No, absolutely not. And I just wonder from the Mohit Sharma piece whether it is a case of teams now just setting up that he's going to bowl the change up and kind of it isn't a surprise anymore. It's like, let's set up for that because we know that that's, he's going to bowl a high proportion of those, and they're not worried about his on-pace delivery being, a worry, if that makes sense. Yeah, yeah. So, I think, again, similar, I think, to Delhi Caps, that, they've played 10 games now, so, they're going to have to go on a bit of a run and really, I can't see that happening for them. But propping up the bottom of the Lipshaw index.
Yes. Are they? I think they're the bottom of the table actually now as well, are they? No. Because RCB's still down there.
RCB's still down there.
So, maybe RCB at 7 was a bit high. But look, Mumbai are down here largely because of what they should have been. I still think what they should have been is much better than this, in the same way that we've had RCB and we've been critical of them. But it felt like Mumbai was about to go. They'd started to pick up a bit of momentum. They were, they were starting to figure out their batting. But this week, two games, two losses. And I would say both, when you actually look at the scorecard, they don't look too bad, They lost to the Royals and they conceded, but then they conceded 257 against Delhi Caps, but they only lose by 10 runs. But I think both of those games, they weren't, when you watch them, they weren't really close. And, they need to start winning against some of these sides that are above them on the ladder. And they just didn't do that against the Royals. And then Delhi Caps was a game that you would think, if you want to be a playoff side, they're going to have to win. And it just isn't happening. And I think what we've seen, that we hoped the whole time, is that we hoped their bowling would come good. But I think in hindsight, all of the hoopla about getting Hardik Pandya, how much better would they have been if they'd just got some local bowlers, I want to have a bit of a conversation about Pandya, but the bowling piece of this is there's just no one being able to support Jasprit Bumrah. They bring in different overseas bowlers, doesn't matter. They brought in Thrushara and Luke Wood in this game. No one has been able to stem the flow, no matter who it is.
Yeah, look, I'm very much done with talking about Mumbai's season so far. I'm ready to do the post-mortem in the wrap-up show. I've just got down here in the DC game, bowling trash again. Hardik, it's actually auto-corrected to Hard Link in my notes here. 41 off 2. That can't be good for his confidence. I don't understand how you – I assume that he will be picked for India.
Yeah.
I just don't know how you can pick him based on some of the other performances that are going on at the moment. They're bowling. It's just, we mentioned it on the Thursday show. Jasprit can't do everything.
Yeah.
No one else is turning up. Kutsia, Pandya, they're all getting smoked everywhere. They brought in other players, which is good. They should be bringing in people to try and make an impact. And the only impact they're making is in, danger for the crowd because, the balls are just flying everywhere. Brinks, you can pick up on that point if you want. I just want to talk about the batting really quickly.
Yeah.
I think that Tilak Varma has looked very, very good over the last few games, and I'm really liking what Tim David is doing. When he got selected for the IPL, chosen in the auction, the IPL, I was quite suspicious about it. Thought it was a bit gimmicky, but he has proved me wrong, and he's been pretty good. In the amount of platform that he's had, the amount of chance that he's had. The way he hits the ball, it looks like the ball hurts. The ball hates it.
Yeah.
But he's been good as well, Tilak Varma and Tim David.
Yeah. To pick up on the Tim David piece, though, absolutely, I think. Particularly because he is just, I don't want this to sound harsh, but he's a one-trick pony. He's a guy that bats in that position.
Yeah, bats when there's four overs to go.
But comes off. Yeah. on a ratio that is not what you would expect with the level of risk versus reward that he goes with. So, yeah, he's been mighty impressive. I think really for Mumbai, the only thing that I can see now for this tournament is individual performances for this World Cup squad. Mm. You know, we'd have been talking about Ishan Kishan probably pretty much, you know, guaranteed a spot as probably backup to Rishabh Pant in that World Cup squad. You've got to say that we've talked about earlier. He's gone really off the board in the last four or five games. You know, he needs to probably come to the party if he wants to have any chance of usurping the guys that we've talked about, particularly Sampson maybe and KL Rahul as well. He's had a fantastic IPL. So, yeah, not a lot from me, but yeah, I wouldn't want to be in that. I wouldn't want to be in my end of year appraisal with the owners. Mm-hmm. That's for sure.
Where are we at with Hardik then, maybe to finish? Because, I mean, I don't want to jump on the bandwagon of the Hardik criticism because I think a lot of undue criticism has come his way in this IPL because of the way that transfer kind of played out, the whole captaincy thing. People obviously weren't happy with that. So I just want to focus on actually the on-field performance. And I don't know how you can look at his performance and actually regard him as an all-rounder for their side. I think it's really difficult. I mean, look, obviously, you know, people can have a few bad games and turn things around. We talk about someone like Mitchell Starc. You know, he can suddenly come in and take a bunch of wickets. But, you know, I'll give you some numbers for his season. So, you know, he got 46 off 24 balls in that chase against Delhi Capitals, which helped slightly to boost some of his stats. But he's averaged 24 with the bat, which... with a high score of that 46, strike rate of 150, which is pretty good, but only 4 wickets from 9 games at an average of 56 and an economy rate of 12. For a comparison, and I think, again, there's no real comparison for Hardik in terms of an Indian local player because there is no one really out there that kind of does the batting finisher kind of piece or, you know, can be better than a finisher, can kind of bat in the middle order when he needs to. And, you know, bowl decent seam. There's no one that really fits that bill, and that's kind of why he's been, you know, seen as a prized player. But if you look at someone like Akshar, for example, averaging 26 with the bat, 135 strike rate, high score of 66, 7 wickets from 10 innings with an economy rate of 7.3. And Jadeja is similar. Well, not similar stats because he averages 78 with the bat, but that's boosted by a lot of not outs. Strike rate is down in 130s as well. Not as many wickets as Akshar, only 5 from 9 games, but again, an economy rate of 7.5. And when you're sort of thinking about how do we want to build our team for the 11, like I'm sure that he will be on the plane. I'm probably sure, like I feel pretty confident he'll be in the 11, but I think that the selectors must be concerned that they're just getting nothing out of his bowling. And if you're getting nothing out of his bowling, that means I think you've got to put him in the class of, okay, who else is he competing with in terms of that batting spot? We've named that top four before. Is he playing better than Sanju Sampson, than, you know, Shivam Dubey, than Rishabh Pant, than, you know, Rinku Singh, although, you know, Rinku hasn't had a huge amount of chances in this IPL because of KKR's batting. But I would pick some of those other guys on their current form to fill out those finisher roles and, you know, even DK or someone like that. So, you know, I don't know. This has been a particularly bad tournament for Hardik.
Yeah, I think it's very easy to sort of jump on people when things aren't going their way in terms of this tournament, but it has been particularly bad. However, I do think that taking someone out of this environment, putting him into that Indian environment, you could see a completely different outcome in terms of how he plays and the success he has and the way that he lifts the rest of the team as well. He is one of those players that has that effect, that locker room effect that a lot of teams look for. You mentioned it, a horrible IPL for him, and there are so many other players that are doing a great job in slots that he would fill.
Yeah.
But there is no one who covers both sides of the ball in terms of the pace bowling and that power hitting or long-term batting if he needs to. So it's a tough one. I've given you no answers to your questions. I've pretty much agreed with you. That's where I said I think he has to be on the plane.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he has to be on the plane because he offers something that some of those guys aren't able to offer. So he's a seam bowling all-rounder. You mentioned Akshar and Ravi Jadeja and some others that can bowl spin and probably fulfill a slightly different role with the bat. Yeah. So I think for that reason he's there. I think when you kind of look at this in the post-mortem, it was a gamble, I think, to have him as captain, to give that locker room lift. You know, do you need a bigger locker room lift than Rohit Sharma? Yeah. I don't think that you do. But they obviously decided that that was a route that they wanted to go, and they felt that it would give them some form of edge. But I don't think you can place it all on Hardik Pandya's shoulders. No, no. that Mumbai haven't performed through the course of this tournament. And there's nothing to say that he doesn't come back and have a stellar IPL in 2025. But it's a poor set of returns, and particularly when you look at any stat that you care to look at from this season or even from his career, it's difficult to kind of make that stretch to say that he should be in that role. But there's a little bit of X factor in there somewhere, isn't there? That just maybe hasn't meant that he's got the turquoise cap or the polka dot cap or any other caps for the course of this instance of the IPL.
Yeah, the bit of that magic hasn't transferred back to. That he seemed to have a Gujarat that lifted everyone up just hasn't translated this season, has it?
No, definitely not. And just on that point, you mentioned Akshar Patel a little bit there. I would like to have a look at his bowling. I haven't looked at it with Kuldeep Yadav on the side. I feel like it's definitely he's had the Kuldeep Yadav effect of improving his Akshar's returns as well when he's been in the side.
I think they work really well together. Yeah, to kind of finish on that point. But I know Binks is about to wrap us up.
Well, we're over an hour and 10 now. So, yeah, we will give this episode of the Power Rankings the final curtain. I think just in terms of our recording, this is Tuesday night here in New Zealand. There's been breaking news all throughout the course of this podcast. So South Africa's T20 squad has been announced, as we said. England's T20 squad has just been announced within the last 5 minutes as well. So we're not going to cover this on this episode, but I'm sure we'll talk about it in midweek IPL instalment. But for now, it is good night and good bless from us all here in Auckland on the Power Rankings. We will be back and it will be even closer to those playoffs. So our predictions may get slightly more accurate in the next week or so. But it is good night and good bless from us here. We'll see you soon on the Top Order podcast. Good night.
Podcast Network.